This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, a little bit later in the episode, we've got a number of questions from our listeners, which they posted in the Paracast forums at forum.theparacast.com. We're talking to Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, one of the few academics who takes Bigfoot seriously. Now, with all this stuff and all this logic you're presenting us, why is it that science isn't giving it more attention? It sounds to me like just a natural evolution of their studies of different species of humanoids and other creatures.
Right. Well, I think we're slowly getting to that point. And I have, in some capacities, interaction with my colleagues where they are quite open. I edit an online scholarly journal with an editorial board that consists of PhDs and other professionals with the appropriate skill sets. I also, through that, in that capacity, recruit reviewers or commentators on submissions to that journal. And I go after the best and the most prominent experts in the various fields. And many have been quite willing to offer their opinion and to give an objective scholarly commentary on those submissions. But it still has such a stigma attached to it that many are unwilling to jeopardize their career, their reputation. And I certainly wouldn't encourage a young assistant professor just starting down their career path to get mired in the controversy that surrounds it, unfortunately, openly. It's too, I can speak from experience, because I was not even idealistic enough to jump into the deep end of the pool before I had tenure. It was a bloody, bruising battle to get through that gauntlet because of the narrow-mindedness of many of my colleagues in my department and campus. So, but on the other hand, the reaction has spanned the gambit from my colleagues. There are those who are very, very interested and passionate about it, curious, passionately curious about it. At the opposite extreme, there are those who have I can only describe as a visceral rejection of it for various reasons that we've touched on already. Been an interesting, I've been at this now since 96, so 20 some years.
Well, you've managed to emerge fairly unscathed. So whatever brand of academic Teflon that you're using, I would suggest patenting the recipe, because having dealt with a number of paranormal subjects and met scientists who are very interested in the subjects and heard about the same types of problems that they would encounter if they attempted to be more public about their interests. Right. These are toxic subjects. Anytime you have subject areas that are rife with hoaxing, rife with, shall we say, good science procedure and the scientific method not adhered to properly, you're going to run into some real pushback and reluctance, I think, on the from the mainstream. Where did you come down on Melba Ketchum's attempt a number of years ago? I think in 2012, where she attempted to get some DNA analysis of I think 17 or 19 samples. I'm not even sure if that ended up being the final number. Could you give our listeners maybe a little rundown on that particular effort and what they did wrong, what they did right, and how we can improve it next time?
Right. Now, well, in fact, I just published or posted in our journal an article by a PhD chemist who did a fantastic review of not only Dr. Ketchum's study, but Dr. Sykes and a couple of other DNA analyses of alleged Sasquatch samples, and I encourage your reviewers to check that out. It's at the Relic Hominoid Inquiry, which is just simply isu.edu/RHI. But he was actually quite kind and pointed out some of the shortcomings. I, at this point, not so generous in my assessment of that whole thing, having been involved with it, well, not involved with it, but having been observing it from the sidelines, pretty much, since her first exposure to the Sasquatch subject. But in short, because we don't have much time, and I hate to spend too much time on this, absolutely no credibility whatsoever. Nothing in that report is really reliable, or none of the conclusions, let's put it that way, and interpretations of the data, insofar as the data is reliable and actually describing novel sequences. Like I said, we could spend the whole hour talking about it, but I mean, you mentioned the number of samples, so I'll just comment on that. I think it was in excess of 100 samples.
Oh, 100, wow.
Yeah. But every one of which, at least as reported, yielded Sasquatch DNA in her assessment. Now, I've screened dozens and dozens of hair samples that have been submitted to me, and probably 10%, if that, are primate hair. And the question is simply whether it's human or whether it's potentially Sasquatch. And there are some characteristics that, including being uncut. Most human hair samples that you pick up have been cut at some point, and the end shows that that process having taken place. But by far the majority are of common forms of wildlife. People don't recognize or realize that hair persists in the environment to a remarkable degree.
Yeah, it's resilient.
It's very resilient, and so the odds, to illustrate that, there's a great book on tracking, and I was Elbrock. He talks about hair in the final chapters of his book, and when he has students out in the field and they stop for a lunch break, he won't let them stand up until they pick up 10 strands of hair. And once he says, at first it seems like that's impossible, but once you get a search image for these fibers, you start finding them all over the place. I mean, they're just everywhere. And so when a witness out there, a would-be witness, whether they actually did encounter a Sasquatch or not, presumably an association, plucks a hair from a fence or from an overhanging branch of a tree, they may think that was left by what they saw. The chances are it's been there for quite a while, and it could be one, some of anything. So the fact that she claimed that all of her samples were Sasquatch.
I had no idea that she had said that.
And one of the samples that held a central position in her whole analysis enmeshed her study with the remarkably dubious experiences of Justin Schmea, the supposed, killer of a Sasquatch in California. And I was involved with that from very early on, and it became very obvious that there was no credibility there, and that the sample that he'd collected was not primate. And all I had to do was look at it under a jeweler's loop and could tell you that it was fur. It was not hair of a primate. It was fur. At the time, I thought it was most just looking at it visually with a 15-power loop was probably something like a coyote. It turned out it was bear, as was confirmed by two independent labs separately. And yet she still included that in her study and said that it was the best sample that she had.
Oh, God.
Yeah, wow. So, yeah, it was, unfortunately, it was a huge distraction, both that study and because that prompted me. I mean, my principal objective in the field was to garner tissues from which we could do DNA analysis. And so when she claimed that she had, dozens and dozens of samples already submitted to her, I kind of pulled back on our field efforts and focused. And, it wasn't a waste of time because I focused attention on things like launching the Relic Hominoid Inquiry and our virtual footprints archive and other sort of laboratory-based studies and analyses to further those. But, we were crossing our fingers that she was going to, pull the rabbit out of the hat. Unfortunately, that's what she pulled out of the hat. It's a rabbit, no Sasquatch.
A rabbit, a bear, some coyotes, maybe a couple
of things. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
We're going to have more creatures coming at us if we don't do our break. All right. Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum with Gene and Chris, you're in.
Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before markets, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? If truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Sale of a Lifetime, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.saleofalifetime.com/free book. Again, that's saleofalifetime.com/free book.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We've been talking with Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum here, and we do have quite a number of questions. We have covered a lot of them already. I have one, though, that I think is the $64,000 question. Do we have any DNA evidence that supports the existence of a Bigfoot-type animal?
Do we have any?
Yes.
No. Short answer is no. Unfortunately, we don't. I mean, there have been a couple of little suggestive things. You may remember the documentary from Monster Quest where we went up to the Snellgrove Lake in Ontario.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had rocks thrown at us, and there was that infamous nail board or screw board, and tissues were collected from that. And one of the participants in that outing, Kurt Nelson, went to great lengths to try to get DNA from a badly degraded sample and was only able to get a small fragment of about 300 base pairs. But there was an interesting substitution that had not been reported for humans but was common to chimpanzees. You know, so we know it wasn't chimpanzee DNA up there, but with only 300 bases and given the extraordinary lengths he had to go to isolate and purify that sample, you know, the more you manipulate, the more chances there are for a misread or some alteration.
Right.
And so one out of 300 just isn't enough. So that was suggestive, but Alva Melba's is unreliable, is not definitive by any means of an unknown species, and certainly not some hybrid, as she has advocated long before she ever had DNA samples.
What was the term that she used, the God gene or something, that just absolutely blew the whole thing out of the water just from that one term?
I'm not familiar with that. It caught me off flat-footed there on that one.
There was some term in there that just the debunkers jumped all over it.
Oh, well, the most ridiculous things was when she published the minimum spanning tree to show the affiliations, the closest affiliations of the sequences to other taxa that she had garnered from the databases. One of the closest ties was to Galago crassidens, which is a Galago. It's a little prosimian, a lemur-like thing from Madagascar. And she, when describing this on the radio at one point, she said, you know, this was struck us as very odd until we learned that there was a subfossil lemur that weighed 400 pounds in Madagascar that only went extinct, you know, 10,000 years ago.
I did not know that.
Well, yeah, so we went from some subhuman hooking up with a European human female to now we've got a human female of 15,000 years ago in Europe somehow making it down to Madagascar to hook up with a 400-pound lemur.
Dang, she gets around.
And from that produced the lineage that gave rise to Sasquatch in North America.
It sounds like a real party girl.
Yeah. So that's the lengths that it went to incredulity. But then, unfortunately, Dr. Sykes' samples did not seem to yield, reportedly did not yield any DNA that couldn't readily be attributed to common forms of wildlife. You know, I had been very hopeful when Dr. Sykes came on the scene that this would be, you know, some redemption for the debacle that was the Ketchum study. And, you know, I think he went about it very systematically, although Dr. Hart shows some of the shortcomings in his experimental design as well. But nevertheless, I had offered to, you know, as I said, when I am given hair samples, there's a lot of chaff there to be winnowed away from the kernel. And I offered to screen the samples because I knew that if he put out a call for specimens, he'd receive everything under the sun, you know. And why waste our time and effort on things that are obviously deer or
elk? Right, you got to have a filter or some sort of screening process. Focus, absolutely.
You know, focus your beam a little bit here. He didn't want to impose any preconceptions on the sampling. So as you can expect, everything, you know, his results were spanned the gambit, even to porcupine from Texas. And I could hold the porcupine guard hair up to the light and tell you it wasn't the Sasquatch hair. You know, it's that kind of unfortunate waste of time and energy. But then there were also some other, I mean, there were a number of samples that went unaccounted for. There were a number that I personally sent to him that I did screen that matched what we think is the gold standard of morphology perfectly. I mean, these were samples that came from, there were a couple from Texas, there was one from British Columbia, one from Washington, I remember, and they just, you know, looked spot on what we think a Sasquatch hair looks like under the microscope. And they didn't seem to be included. So my fear was that there were samples that morphologically were very spot on, but as has been the case in the past, have we've been unable to get DNA from them because they have featured like a cellular medulla that makes extracting DNA from a hair shaft without an actively growing bulb, a follicle, rather challenging. And so I've not followed through with this query to Dr. Sykes, but I suspect that some of the samples that didn't yield DNA went unreported. And in fact, those might have been the most interesting.
Interesting how that that's the case.
Well, yeah. Whatever the case may be, we're still, unfortunately, at home plate when it comes to we haven't even got to first base yet when it comes to a DNA analysis to demonstrate a novel species by that means.
Well, let's get to some of our questions. I have one from F. Workman, who's been a poster at forum.theparacast.com. You go to the question bank, and you can write your questions out that we then relay on to our guests. This is an interesting one. A number of cases that I've investigated have featured strange premonitions that the witness has or claims to have had before an encounter. And his question is, some witnesses have experienced so-called paranormal happenings or sensations when encountering Bigfoot. And he's wondering if you have any theories why some witnesses have felt a presence, like an abnormal feeling of fear or dread, before a visual, olfactory, or some sort of sonic event that they can, in their own minds, attribute to a Sasquatch.
Right. Well, short of appealing to a paranormal or parapsychological explanation, if there is a biological explanation, one that I have entertained and have discussed at some length in my book, in the chapter on vocalizations, is the notion of infrasound. And I know that infrasound has gotten a lot of mileage and an embellishment along the way. I think the term of late has been being zapped by a Bigfoot, but there is this interesting combination of factors. We know now that a lot of animals employ infrasonic frequencies in their vocalizations, whether it's to broadcast to their conspecifics over great distance, like elephants, when it was one of the first terrestrial species.
Right, they could communicate through 30 feet of concrete.
Exactly, and over kilometers of distance.
More to come with Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com. And use promo code RADIO to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow
allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Hey, I heard a commercial the other day for a very respectable advertiser, My Pillow. It'll get a very comfortable pillow and everything.
Moving up in the world.
That's, you know, GCN is signing up some mainstream advertisers.
Well, we must be doing something right there, Gene.
Well, I'm not getting paid for it, and you're not getting paid for it, so it doesn't really help. We have Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, and we didn't pay him either. He's just a nice guy. That's why he shows up.
Very nice. Very gracious to come on the show. We do consider ourselves kind of the 60 minutes of the paranormal. We don't, suspend our disbelief and scratch our guest bellies. We make them work. Oh, here's some more questions that are pretty interesting. This is from Ron Away. He's been a longtime poster at forum.theparacast.com, where you guys get to ask questions of our wonderful guests. And he says, as with UFO sightings, he believes that it is ludicrous to think that all Sasquatch sightings are either fabricated or a misidentification. Do you believe that the government agencies are fully aware of the creature's existence? And if so, what is your favorite theory for the cover-up?
Yeah. I know there are a lot of people out there who have experiences or claim experiences with men in black and unmarked aircraft and so forth. I've not had any of those. You know, either I'm disseminating great disinformation unwittingly, and so they're just letting me go, or has been suggested that if I was intimidated or accosted, that it would be I'd be too visual or too visible, rather. Too much in the public eye, so they have to just kind of let me go on my own. But the experiences I have had where there has been intentional, overt suppression of information or evidence, it has primarily resulted from, you know, much like in the scientific community, is this attitude that it can't exist. It's a wild goose chase. I don't want to be embarrassed by any reports that are taking place on my watch, or two, I don't want to be challenged about spending taxpayers' money. You may have seen the ridiculous news coverage about an event that I participated down at the University of New Mexico at Gallup, where an unscrupulous reporter teamed up with a desperate politician to try to create a scandal to get publicity for his reelection bid, apparently, is what it seems to boil down to. But a public event that was well known for months and months and months, it suddenly became a hot topic. And the bottom line was, how was state money being spent to finance a conference on Bigfoot?
Yeah.
And to underwrite some field exploration to visit some of the sites and see some of the habitat and visit with some of the local witnesses. You know, so that those two things, I think, are much more. There's also, you know, in industry, you know, the forest or logging industry certainly doesn't want to have a lot of amateur investigators tromping through and trespassing on private property. So I think there's a potential for suppression of information there. You hear stories about loggers who are told to just don't tell, you know, don't talk about it. We don't want to draw attention. We don't want this to be the mother of all spotted owls type situation.
Right. Oh, boy, that would be the last thing in the world that Weyerhaeuser would want to do.
Well, exactly. So, you know, in the national parks, for example, I know of rangers who've had experiences, but they never reported up the line. And there's because of fear of retribution or criticism or whatever.
There's some sort of blowback, just like pilots and UFO sightings, it's the same sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's very similar. Well, another question from F. Workman is, he's wondering if you've ever had an encounter during one of your investigations, or have you had any other types of so-called paranormal, I put in so-called because it's such a catch-all phrase,
so-called
paranormal experiences while investigating the case?
Well, I have. In the introduction to my book, I describe one close encounter that was quite interesting, not a visual encounter, but under the cover of fog that had rolled in off the California coast into the Six Rivers area, we had something rifling through backpacks and brushing against tents and rain flies, but able to just kind of dissolve back into the murk when we'd get out of our tents, but was leaving 16-inch footprints.
Wow. Now that's pretty up close and personal.
Yeah. I may have had a visual encounter just last fall, in 2015. I was up in Alberta with an investigator there and saw just a silhouetted, what seemed to be a silhouetted figure that was in context of something that had approached our camp, was popping brush, had vocalized, and was reacting to our attempts to talk at it. You know, you try to reassuringly speak to it, and suddenly it sounded like a baseball bat was cracked and broken in two, that kind of thing. And then it broke from the shadows and quickly walked across the road into the shadows on the opposite side, this being observed through night vision. Not certain. You know, I'd say there's much better than a 50-50 chance that indeed it was a Bigfoot, given the context, especially would up that perhaps, you know, to 70%.
Well, where in Alberta was that?
It was about midway up, straight west from Calgary, right up against the Rocky Mountains, just north of the just went blank, having a senior moment here.
What, around Lake Louise, Saskatchewan River area there? Or?
Yeah, roughly. I think that sounds right.
Yeah. Oh, that's my favorite place in North America. That's unbelievably beautiful up there.
Yeah, oh, it was. Amazing.
And that is, boy, if I was a Bigfoot, that's where I'd want to live.
Exactly.
I heard years ago a story circulating around the local Washington State Bigfoot community of supposedly a community of Bigfoot right in the center of British Columbia in a very, very closed off valley that there was only one way in and one way out, and that there were two huge firs or western red cedars or some huge conifer. Two of them had been pulled down and bowed down and tied together, lashed together like a big McDonald's arch at the entrance to this particular valley, and that there was a sizable community of these creatures living in there, and it seemed to be some sort of central point, and that there actually was a social, a fairly large social group there. Have you ever heard anything like that before?
I haven't. No, not to that extent. But again, my question would be, you know, what's the basis for that assertion? Is there is there any evidence to back that up?
Well, if I remember correctly, it was a bush pilot that flew over it and was so frightened about it. He did mention it to some people, but never really went to the authorities or went anywhere further with it, because he number one, he was just too afraid for his own reputation, as understandably so, and number two, he felt that he would be doing the community a disservice if he actually ID'd the exact location. And people did try to backtrack his flight path and stuff. I mean, you hear stories all the time. That one was the only one that I've ever heard that talked about an actual group larger than, let's say, a family group, as described by, like, an Albert Osman back when he said he was abducted by one and brought to a cave, blah, 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 which I've never really fully kind of embraced that particular account. But how about Jacko? Well, supposedly in the 1880s, a railroad sideshow, kind of a circus, allegedly had a juvenile Bigfoot that was on display for a number of weeks, that would be able to wrench apart wood in a very unnatural, impossible way. And I've been, for years, I tried to search down some alleged photographs that have been taken of it. Does that ring a bell? It was a Canadian.
Absolutely. Well, that's one of the classics in the lore. I think the person who's probably done some of the most investigation of that is Christopher Murphy.
Let's do our break here, guys. We've got more to come with Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum and Gene and Chris. You're in a Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
How confident are you in your food storage?
If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, Newmana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only Newmana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the Newmana difference.
America made to store the love to eat. Yum!
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So as we progress towards the final leg of our journey here, let me remind you that we do have a free Paracast Plus sampler at our forums at forum.theparacast.com. We have three or four samples up there where we give you a sample of the commercial-free version of the Paracast, a sample of After the Paracast, and one of the videos that we've posted. And you could check those out. And if you like what you hear, just subscribe at plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. The prices start at just $4.99, our price, cheap. Has to be $4.99. What is that? Less than a Starbucks. Chris, what's a Starbucks coffee cost now?
I don't go to Starbucks. I heard they just recently raised their prices, so I think it's even less now.
So therefore, the Paracast Plus becomes an ever greater value.
Makes a great Christmas gift for your paranormal boyfriend.
Or paranormal girlfriend or whatever.
Or paranormal girlfriend or your imaginary girlfriend. I'm sure she'd like that too.
That's right. You can have an imaginary viewing. Plus.theparacast.com. We have the not imaginary Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum. I know he's not imaginary because he has his webcam on. And we know he's a real person. See, no one ever sees what I really look like. They just see this strange avatar because we don't want to let them know that. So my webcam is forever off.
Here's a good question, Gene, from Harry Newton, who's one of our listeners in the London area, London, England, where there are no Bigfoot except for occasional politicians that tromp through the countryside.
I thought we had a collection of those, but I didn't want to get into politics.
Okay. Now, you are an expert on bipedal feet, and he's wondering, with all the wonderful plaster cast, you probably have one of the largest collections in the world, I would imagine. Which one is your favorite and why?
Yeah, I get that asked frequently when I'm at conferences and have a variety of these on display. It's hard to single one out because each one has its own unique set of circumstances and often illustrates a particular point. And so I utilize many different examples to make those points. One that I was delighted to have access to was a cast that was made by Bob Titmus at the Patterson-Gimlin film site which has proved to be, you know, quite central to my modeling of the form and function of the Sasquatch foot and the distinctions that it exhibits by comparison, by contrast to the human foot. And this track has a very distinctive pressure ridge preserved within it that illustrates this function of the mid-tarsal break or the midfoot flexibility that is, it seems to be very characteristic of the Sasquatch track.
So it shows the arch, the foot arch?
Well, no, it's not arched. That's the whole point is, you know, the tracks that Roger Patterson cast were remarkably flat looking. No arch with differential pressure under the heel and ball of the foot at all. And that caused the experts at the time, if they can be called that, you know, at that time back in the 60s, the study of human locomotion and footprints was, you know, as far as evolutionary history was in its infancy. But because of the flatness of the tracks that he presented them with, it was easy for them to just dismiss them as, you know, the result of static prosthetics, carved wooden feet, you know, like Wallace has asserted. But the other tracks show remarkable dynamics. And again, it's not an arch, but it's due to that flexibility of the flat foot. The heel is elevated first with flexion through the midfoot, weight transferred to the forefoot, and under the appropriate conditions, plasticity of the substrate and the forward impulse, you'll sometimes get a pressure release or a pressure disc.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's a release from the front towards the back?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Sometimes it actually displaces material back into the heel. Sometimes it just causes it to hump up as that downward pressure of the forefoot just displaces some of the material backward. And it
probably the faster.
Like a speed bump.
The faster it walks, probably the more you're going to see that, I would think.
Exactly. You know, it's just like when we walk down the beach, we'll push up in a similar fashion behind the ball of the foot right there at the base of our big toe, or we'll kick up some material from our toes themselves, because especially the big toe where we push off through that big toe. The Sasquatch seems to push off from the fore part of the foot in its entirety. The toes are there primarily for traction, but not so much for propulsion. And so that Titmus track illustrates that principle very, very well. But there are many others there that also show the remarkable degree of mobility of the foot in supination and pronation, you know, the twisting of the forefoot relative to the hind foot. And it's truly amazing. As I get talking about it, I don't know if the excitement comes through. People
it
ask
me, does. Believe me, it excites me too, because someone who knows as much about this subject of being involved in this particular type of research is, you know, I mean, we're very fortunate to have you. And Harry wanted me to pass along a thank you on his behalf, because he's, as a result of your work and others, he's become very, very fascinated with the subject. And a big thumbs up from Harry Newton in London.
Well, thank you. I was able to make a presentation to a group of podiatrists and orthopedists at the Massachusetts General Hospital for a speaking engagement. And I tell you, it was fun. It was sheer fun to be able to talk shop with a room full, you know, 75 plus clinicians who could appreciate and were conversant in the form and function of the foot.
Right.
And its pathology. In fact, I left with the department chairman another of my favorite, the Bosberg cripple foot pair.
The crippled track. Right. Oh, that's a famous one.
That is. And, yeah. You know, unfortunately, it has a bit of a pall hanging over it because of its association with Ivan Marks, who we know hoaxed a number of different things. But in this case, you know, as I've often said, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. And I think this was an amazing nut that he found, because discussing that particular case with these clinicians and the interpretation of the pathology and the possible trauma to the foot, I left a replica pair of those tracks with the department head, and they're on display in the office. And the clinicians were fascinated
with
it.
That's great. They
didn't get the qualm.
Oh, man, maybe there's
hope. The anthropologists were hung up on, you know.
I love it. You know, from time to time, you encounter cases, and I'm sure you have too, where there's just elements of the case that even though trace evidence is left behind, there's something that doesn't add up. I'll give you an example. My brother had an encounter. It wasn't visual, but they were on horseback. They were on a logging road between Gold Bar and Startup, Washington, just below Stevens Pass. Mm. It was a moist day, you know, in the Cascades.
Right.
They were on a logging road that had kind of compressed clay that was wet, and the horses all of a sudden started freaking out, and so they had to get off and calm the horses down. Then they had the smell, and they led the horses around the corner, kind of around the bend in the logging road, and they encountered five footprints. One was on the it was going from right to left across the road. There was one footprint on the side of the road, one in the middle of the road, one on the other side of the road. A swooped footprint going up a kind of a the cut in the mountainside, a broken pine bough, a very large branch had been broken, like it had grabbed it to pull itself up. But there were no tracks approaching the road and no tracks leaving the road. The track in the middle of the road was so pristine that there was like fingerprints of the foot compressed in the wet clay. That left actual dermal impressions.
Wow.
The University of Washington came up. This was in, I'm trying to remember the date. This would have been the fall of 73, I think, or possibly 74, I forget. How do you explain a trackway that only consists of five prints with none approaching the trackway and none leaving, where there should have been trace evidence?
Right.
Is there some sort of paranormal? I guess the question is, do we have some sort of paranormal aspect here? Some sort of being able to blink in and out of reality? I know a lot of the Freudians believe that this is some sort of paranormal creature and is not just purely an undiscovered species of animal, that there's something paranormal about it. Where do you come down with those types of theories and those types of cases?
Well, my experience has been that what appears to be a sudden start and sudden stop really isn't. That, you know, the conditions may have been, depending on how fresh it sounds like.
Now, this is one of those situations where the strange creatures who manage the collection of advertising that we present on the Paracast are here to tell us we've got to stop. We have Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.